The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we're starting a new sermon series this morning, I will be preaching on it, Pastor Dave will be preaching on it, Pastor Renee will be preaching on it. We want to spend a little bit of time focusing on what is the mission and what is the vision of Living Waters Church? In other words, why are we here? When we're talking about mission, we purpose to answer three questions. Who are we trying to reach? What are their needs? And how will we meet those needs? That's what mission does. And then vision describes, in usually a sentence or two, okay, so that's our mission. Vision describes, all right, what's it going to look like when it's happening so we know it's happening? It's fine to have a vision, but if you can't make it happen, you might have the wrong vision. In 1997, the elders asked me, politely, to fast and pray for a vision for Living Waters Church. We had been going for some time as a church. We were not yet in a building. We were still renting a school building. And I got away to a church camp in Annandale. I think the name of it is Koinonia. And spent 3 days just fasting and seeking the Lord and asking him to give me verbiage. Because how many of you know words are important? And he did that, and we've been running under that vision for the last, whatever, someone else do the math, 22 years, I guess, anyway. But recently, as elders and wives, we revisited the vision. We said, okay, is this still relevant? And we realized that, yes, it is, and in fact, in some ways, is more relevant today than it was when we initially wrote it. And in, I'll say again, I said earlier, when we did this ordination of Matthew and Elisa Berry this morning, that was our vision. That's the vision in visual. So does that mean we want to ordain everybody? No. You already are. But our vision, well, let's put our mission. Can we put our mission statement up there? We will reach. Remember, we said mission does three things. It describes who we're reaching, what are their needs, and how will we meet those needs. So we will reach people who are in need of salvation, hope, and healing. How will we meet those needs? By providing a place of love and acceptance. You need to know that as members of Living Waters Church, you have an important role in helping us provide a place of love and acceptance. So, if you get here on a Sunday morning and somebody that is new here is in your chair because they didn't know that was your chair and they didn't know that's where you always sit, you might have to dial down a little bit and be okay with that. And I want you to know, as a body, you are very good at that, because we hear it all the time. People do feel loved and accepted here. So we're doing it. You're doing it. But I want you to understand that we are intentional about providing a place, an atmosphere for love and acceptance. That means when whoever walks through the door, we love and accept them. And we want to make them feel welcome. We also want to teach a kingdom lifestyle. What is a kingdom lifestyle? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. We define a kingdom lifestyle this way. A kingdom lifestyle is the manner of life as presented in the scriptures and modeled by Jesus Christ, relating to our relationship first and foremost with God. How do we relate to God? Then how do we relate to people? And how do we relate to the world system in which we live? That's the kingdom lifestyle. And you and I are a part of a kingdom. And the vision of Living Waters Church is not churchy, it's kingdom. That's why we can hold people so loosely. That's why we can send someone in. But what if they plant a church that's more successful than ours? Hallelujah! Praise God. Now, if you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, maybe I could go to their church. You can if you want to, if you're lost. They're reaching the lost. Now, if you want to pray for them, pray for them. If you want to volunteer to help them in some way, talk to them. But realize that they're on a very specific mission. And you might find that as we unravel our mission and vision over the next few weeks, that you will find that you don't fit here. Can a pastor really say that? I think I can. It's important for us as the family of God, as a group of people, to be able to define and understand and relate to and connect with the reason we're here. So we provide a place of love and acceptance while teaching the gospel lifestyle, or the kingdom lifestyle. It used to say gospel lifestyle. I told you we changed some things. Kingdom lifestyle, which basically gospel, kingdom, same thing, that brings wholeness to spirit, soul, and body. We want to minister to the whole person. And so that is our mission. That defines who we're reaching, what are their needs, and how will we meet them. I told you a couple weeks ago that this painting would be here, and I did tell you and promised you that the bride did make it up on the horse, and as you can see, she did. And Colleen Call is here this morning, and she painted that picture, and when she sent me the sketch of it initially, I thought, oh, that's nice. It was. It was just paper, charcoal, or pencil, or whatever, and she sent a picture of it. It was nice. But when I saw the painting, something went off inside me, and I realized, I asked her if we could get it here for this, because I knew we were going to be preaching on mission and vision, because this is our vision. And it's a little bit more than that, too. But before I say anything about it, I want the person who painted it to share from her heart. So I'm going to ask if Colleen will come on up. How many of you know you can't, in the same way that us preachers can't preach without inspiration, I don't believe you can paint like that without inspiration.
Hello. Well, most of you know that I painted that first one back in November, and that was Warrior King Jesus, and the second one is Jesus rescuing his bride. You can see him swooping her up on the horse. The third one is Jesus returning with the bride, and you can see the bride is on the horse in the front, but she's calm, she's confident, she's strong. They've been in the secret place together, in the intimate place, and he's prepared with his hand outstretched to protect anything that's coming towards her, and they're getting ready to awaken the dawn to bring and gather the rest of the church.
What's the name of it?
And I named it the Bridal Revival.
I have been declaring for years that a revival is coming and is here, and it is a revival that is the bride and the bridegroom riding together, going across the earth, impacting the whole world. I believe that there is a revival going on right now, and it is a bridal revival, but it's because, as Pastor Dave says, the whomsoevers are doing whatsoever, wheresoever. So it isn't always a big splash because it's not about a meeting. I said earlier on in the year, he is the intimacy of the bride and the bridegroom is ushering in a revival, but Alan coined it the secret revival. It's in the secret place and it's hidden. The silent revival is another name that we've used for it. It is a silent revival, but it is going on, and it's going on in your spheres of influence. And that picture speaks to that. And it is the bride and the bridegroom. And I believe over the and because it is not quantifiable, that is, you know, if in a meeting you can say, well, this happened and that happened, but who's keeping track of what's happening in your sphere of influence as you go about? Who's going to keep track of what the Berries do in their neighborhood? God does. He knows what's going on, and he's very capable of shepherding and overseeing so that we don't need to. So the revival that is going on in this day is going on in a very silent way in many cases. And it is escalating, but it all comes out of intimacy with the bridegroom. If you're not bearing fruit, it's just possible you're not pregnant. You need to spend time with the bridegroom. I'll remind you again, and I've done this over the last few months, when I speak about the bride, I'm not speaking about you all. I'm speaking about you as individual believers. We need to see ourselves as the bride, riding with the King. When we gather in the secret place with God, just him and us, we need to see ourselves as the bride and allow the intimacy that he desires to come about. We need to understand that God created man. And we know that in the book of Genesis, he said concerning Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. But the reason he said that is because he's already seen that it wasn't good for his son to be alone. He needed a bride. And there you are. And the father needed children. And there you are. And the Holy Spirit needed a temple. And there you are. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be God and have only the three to talk to? Man was created for God's pleasure. That's why our praise and our worship is so significant to him. Because it's about love, it's about intimacy, it's about thankfulness, it's about joy. Our first thought would be, well, if the bridegroom was any gentleman at all, he'd be in front, rather than putting her at the front of the battle. But the reality is the battle's already won and he already fought it. She is a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. I want us to read a couple of scriptures. Can you put that scripture up out of the book of Acts? I want us to see how important it is that the bride and the bridegroom minister together. I'm going to be getting to our vision. That painting captures our vision. Now, Lord, look on their threats and... Well, that would have been okay. That was kind of cool. I thought that was an artsy thing you were doing. I was like, wow, that's classic. The scripture over the vision. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Is there more to that verse? All right. Can you go to the next one? Thank you, Jesus. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Who's stretching out their hand to heal? Jesus is. We need to understand when we speak, Jesus is speaking. When he stretches out his hand to heal, he's stretching out his hand to heal. When we purpose to tell a demon where to go, he's telling the demon where to go. It's bride and bridegroom. His name is her name. And we have the authority. The reality is the responsibility to bring the gospel to the earth rests on the bride. It was an assignment given to her. That's what the Berries, they're on a mission. What mission? The mission they were given. The same mission you and I were given. To preach the gospel, to love people, to draw people in. And we need to understand, why is the bride at the forefront? Because it's her battle, not his. He already fought it. But it's her responsibility. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray. But do we understand that we need to be a part to the answer to that prayer?
Yes.
Now we can't do it without him, but he won't do it without us. And many times we say, God, do something about this. And he says, whoa, you do something about it. Even in your sphere, if there's things that you're praying about, you need to consider that you might be the answer. Or part of it. You and the bridegroom. If you're not the answer in that situation, then who is? If you're not the answer, why are you there? So we get to represent the bridegroom. We get to carry his name. We get to carry his authority. We get to fight a battle that's already won. If you get a chance a little later, come on up and look at the look on the bride's face. She's smiling. Why? Because she is with the one who knows the end from the beginning. Can we put up that scripture out of Mark? Chapter 16. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word to the accompanying signs. Amen. We need to understand when we go about the business of ministry, we're doing it with Jesus. We need to understand that everything that we do, we're representing him. What did the Apostle Paul write? All that you do, in word or in deed, do as unto the Lord. Or in other words, as for the Lord, on behalf of. And that is our vision for Living Waters Church. Can we put the vision statement up there? We now want to talk about that. And this represents that. We purpose to be a Christ-centered community of people who are co-laboring with the Holy Spirit to transform. Everyone say transform.
Transform.
Your responsibility and my responsibility is to bring transformation wherever we go and in whatever situation we are in. Now we do it together here. If you're wondering what is the purpose of our service on Sunday mornings, a large part of it is to bring transformation to lives and to a city, to a region. Why are they gathering on Sunday night to pray for our nation? Transformation. And in that case, it is strategic transformation. It is praying for the right people to be in the right place to bring kingdom values into a nation. Everyone say it again. Transform.
Transform.
Say it like you mean it.
Transform.
Someone saw and this is one of the best definitions of the word transformation or metamorphosis. It is, someone saw in the prayer room today, a worm or, you know, in a cocoon and a butterfly coming forth. That's our goal. We want to see a room full of butterflies. Free to be. And free to do what we were all born to do. And guess what? What you were born to do is not what I was born to do. Any of those of you who know me very well know that I could not do that. Not even in stick form. Well, most of you couldn't either. But I can paint a picture with words. So I'll do that. There are times when a message will inspire a prophetic painting, but there are also times when a prophetic painting will inspire a message. And that's the case with this. I already saw two women crying when they saw that. And it means different things to different people. Now, to some of us, it may not mean anything, and that's okay. But it does speak. And it reminds us that we have a responsibility to ride with Jesus in and about our daily life. The Apostle Paul said this, and until we understand this, we're really not involved in ministry. He said, "Death works in me that life might work in others." And sometimes we dabble in ministry, and I mean in the service of other people, but only to the depth that it makes us feel good about ourselves and good about our relationship with God. That's not ministry. That's not service. Or if it is, it's self-service. We need to understand that the ministry that Jesus calls us to costs us something. It costs us our life, and that we are not our own. We belong to Him. And in some ways, until death is working in us, life is not being exuded out of us. It costs us something. It's going to cost the Berry. It already is costing the Berries and their family. That's why we had the kids come up, because it's costing them. They open up their home, and it's not that it's a grievous thing, but it costs something. And many times, I've talked to young ministers and went through this myself, where we began to hit a wall, and it's like, this is not fun anymore. I mean, there are days when it's fun, but it's like, whoa, welcome to the work of the ministry. Welcome to the service of the King. Welcome to that place where death is working in you, but life. Welcome to that place where when you feel your weakest, you are really at your strongest, because you're riding with the Bridegroom. It's important that we understand that it isn't always the easy things and the fun things. I do recommend that even as we are looking at a vision at a church, I do recommend that you write a vision and a mission statement for your life. And if you've never done that, we're going to be having a class coming up that'll help you do that. What were you born to do? I remember several years ago an apostle visited, and he said to Marcy, my wife, he said, when that man, we were standing at a kitchen counter in someone's home. He said, when that man finds his true calling, he will be 10 years younger. Guess what I was doing at the time? Pastoring. And he went on to prophesy the apostolic call. Some of you understand that. When we find that space, that sweet, I call it the sweet spot. Those of you who have played tennis, you know when the ball hits the sweet spot, wow. You can feel it. Those of you who have ever batted a ball, when the ball hits the sweet spot and you connect at just the right timing, the right speed, the right place on the bat, it's like, oh yeah. In the same way, you and I need to find what is our sweet spot. One of the reasons that we're sharing our vision is I want you to be asking yourself, okay, how do I fit into that? This is very easy for me to live because it's who I am. It isn't like something I have to do. But you need to find what is easy for you to live. What is the thing that you do? And even though there's days when it kills you, you'd rather do that than anything else. Because the truth is, life will kill you. So you might as well make your life count for something, but here's the reason that we have a mission statement and a vision statement. It's really very simple. So that when opportunity for ministry comes, we know what to say yes to and we know what to say no to. So many times people are just, we get on a religious horse, and Jesus isn't on it, by the way, but we get on a religious horse and we just say yes to everything because that's what Christians do. And we burn ourselves out because we're giving ourselves, it isn't that somebody needs to do that job, but it may not be you. And we need to find that place where we both a place and a community of people, it's what we say, a Christ-centered community of people who we can support the vision of what they're about, and then but then find our role in that whole statement. Where's our role? What is your role? I'm challenging you a little bit this morning. What is your kingdom vision? I'm not asking what do you do in the church. I'm asking what do you do in the kingdom? We're a part of a family here, so we should all serve in some way. And I realize some of you are fairly new here, and one of the things that this vision allows us to do is say to you when you get here, we encourage you to just sit and receive. We realize because of who we are, sometimes the people who come in who are in need of hope and healing do not need to be given an assignment the minute they get in the door. We've had a number of people tell us, when we got here, you just let us be. Why? Because we understand what it means to provide a place of love and acceptance that isn't based on, oh, by the way, what can you do for us? See, you need Living Waters Church, but Living Waters Church needs you too. But we don't need you until you're healed and got your strength back and all of that. But we want to bring transformation. You hear me preach often that we are made new, and him who sits on the throne is constantly saying, behold, I make all things new. You've heard me say that we as believers should be in a constant state of change. Why? That's what transformation looks like. We are being transformed. I am not the same man I was a year ago. And I trust that none of you are the same person you were a year ago. We're being changed from glory to glory with ever-increasing glory. That's transformation. You wonder why the prophetic declaration comes from here so often that keeps calling us deeper, and it's like, God, do you ever get tired of that? No, he won't. Because, oh, can I say it? I don't want to hurt your feelings much. You need to change. Oh, I didn't say it loud enough. You need to change. I need to change. I need to be changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. And I'm in a transformation process. That's why the messages that we preach here are not milk toast. To the best of our ability, we preach the meat of the word. Because we need to be changed. And we want to transform the world's lost and wounded. Well, what does that mean? Oh, I'm glad you ask. Here's how we look at it. And I realize, is there anyone visiting here this morning that has never been here before? That makes me feel better. It would have been fine, but every person is born with a sin nature and into a fallen world under the rule of Satan, who is out to destroy us. Although we will be careful not to label people as wounded, quote, the truth is, until we realize we are wounded, we will have little sincere need for our Savior. We don't want to label people wounded, but we are. We were. We need a Savior. And I accepted Jesus, I don't even, 40 years, almost 40 years, I guess, ago. But I still need my Savior. I still need Him. And so do you. And the truth is that the gospel that we preach here is not very palatable, and it isn't very seeker sensitive. In the sense that if you don't have a deep awareness of your need for God, you will not understand the premium that we put on His presence. If you don't understand your need for an intimate relationship with the bridegroom, you won't understand why we talk so much about intimacy. I need the bridegroom because I'm wounded or was wounded. I would want to suggest that when you and I get born again, we are on a journey to wholeness. But it is a journey. That's why I can say with confidence, I know I'm not the same person I used to be. Thank God. Right, Renee? Thank God. Yeah. We go through stuff in life, but it makes us into who we are now. If you're a person who likes to hang on to the past, you'll struggle here because we don't live there. We live in the future. We have a God who is always, listen to me, He is always focused on present and future. He doesn't focus on the past. He's already been there, and so have you. And so we are constantly pressing. You may be here this morning and you get tired of hearing us talk about the coming revival. Well, I'm sorry. But we're going to continue to talk to you about it because it's coming. It's here. Well, how will we know when it's here? When there's a new life and vitality in you and me. But we need to understand, see, there is no end to this vision. By that I mean we never arrive at a place where we've attained anything that says, okay, that's done. Now let's start another. No, because it's a spiritual vision. It isn't natural. It isn't, by the way, this is not based on numbers. By that I mean membership count. Here's what we found. We've done this so that people could leave whole and healed and go do whatever God told them to do because they were not branded. And they heard the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd's voice says, go over here or go over there. That's why from time to time you'll see us. Just as deliberately as we receive new members, we release them. In fact, I better not say that. What do you think? Should I say it, Dave?
Okay, Bob. I'll clean it up next week.
Okay. Good. He'll clean up the mess. There is a part of me, just being honest, this is the apostolic part of me. There is a part of me that gets more excited about releasing someone who was a member than receiving someone who's becoming a member. Do you still love me? I'm glad you're here. But if the shepherd says, go do this or go do that, our vision allows you, encourages you, go do it. In other words, be free to follow the shepherd's voice. In fact, part of the history of this church is we were a satellite congregation of Way of the Cross Church in Blaine. Way of the Cross at that time is now called Way of the Lord. And it was a church of about 1,000. I was one of the elders, and they wanted to plant. We were growing to the point that we didn't have any more seats. And rather than go to two services and all of that, in fact, we were at two services. We still didn't have room. They said, we want to plant some churches. So we did some research, and there was about 40 of us that drove from this regional area to Blaine. And they decided that they wanted to plant a work here. And for a season, we were a satellite congregation. Our finances went through the mother church, if I could say it that way. Our eldership, of which I was a part, oversaw the church plant, the satellite here in Elk River. But Pastor Don came and preached one Sunday, and he came back. I didn't know he was going to do this, but he came back into an elders meeting, and he said, listen, if you do not release that church, it will die. It has to connect to the head for itself. And they did, and they released us, and we immediately saw growth in numbers. Dave and Susie were there, like, I think the next Sunday, and some others. I almost immediately had been working bivocationally, working as a carpenter, which is biblical. Just saying. And pastoring a church. I was almost immediately, the growth and just some things happened in the spirit. Faith arose in me, and I was able to quit my job as a carpenter and enter into the ministry full time. But it all flowed out of autonomy. That is, you hear the term, churches have to be autonomous. That simply means it flowed out of us connecting to the head for ourselves. Instead of having a mother church, if I could say it that way, that we went through. And in the same way, you need to connect to the head, the shepherd, for yourself. And our vision gives you the privilege and the opportunity to do that. That's why we're hesitant to tell you what to do. We'll spend more time reminding you who you are. That's what the Apostle Paul did in his letters. He always started his letters with reminding them who they were. Then he said, based on this, you conduct yourselves in this way. It's important. So we purpose to transform the world's wounded. And again, understanding that every person, when we're born, we're wounded in the sense that we've come into a fallen world and we have a dead spirit, plain and simple, because of Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve. But Jesus is the answer to all that. He is the second man, Adam, and he starts a new lineage. That's why we are a Christ-centered community. It has to be Christ-centered. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is Christ-centered. His job is to take everything that belongs to Christ and make it known to you and to me. What about the Father? No man comes to the Father but through the Son. It's not possible. And not only that, but the Father is drawing people to the Son. Not only that, but it pleased the Father that in the Son all fullness should dwell. Not only that, it says in Colossians chapter 3, He, Jesus, is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And sometimes we have trouble understanding and connecting to God because we try to connect with Him and we don't go through the door of Jesus. I don't mean you didn't get saved. That's not what I mean. I mean at the forefront of, it's the bride and the bridegroom relationship. That is the relationship that produces the fruit. And I'm not going to give you a biology lesson in intimacy. Just saying. Read the Song of Solomon. It'll help you. So we will transform the world's lost and wounded into God's warriors. That's what we're after. In fact, that is the purpose of discipleship. It is the one who was once sick is now the healer. Apostle Paul said it this way, we comfort others with the comfort that we've received. You could say we heal others with the healing we've received. We love others with the love that we've received. We forgive others with the forgiveness that we've received. If you're here this morning and you're having trouble forgiving someone, I would stop trying if I were you. And just let the forgiveness that you've gotten from God flow out through you. If you're having trouble loving someone, just let the love of God for you. I hear this quite often. I just don't love people. I feel your pain, but I'm just saying. The secret to loving people is to allow yourself to be loved by the bridegroom and by the Father and by the Holy Spirit. Until it exudes out of you, but then it is not your love, it's His. We are warriors. I do want you to notice that the bride is not wearing army boots. I don't think she needs to. She can crush the head of Satan with heels just as easily. The God of peace, says in Peter, will soon crush Satan under your feet. Jesus is waiting for His enemies to be made a footstool. Guess who does that? You and I. He is the head, but we are the body. We are dedicated. Everyone say dedicated.
Dedicated.
You need to, I need to, we all need to find a vision, both corporately and as individuals, so that we can dedicate ourselves to this. What are you dedicated to? Just asking. That's your vision. That's your mission. And sometimes, and please understand, there are times when we're in training and in the best school of ministry that I know of, which is called Life. There's times when we're in training, and so we do say yes to all kinds of things, but eventually we begin to realize, ooh, I shouldn't have said yes to this. It's ripping me up. And there's a difference between death working in me that life might work in others, and just being involved in something, and it's like, whew, I don't have the grace for this. And what we find is we end up on the horse all alone, and Jesus is standing off on the side and said, what are you doing up there? I'm serving you. No, you're not. I'm not with you in this. I didn't tell you to go here. And so we, in time, we find our vision and our mission. And we need to give room for exploration and just discovering. But we are in constant contact with the bridegroom. So we are dedicated to providing a pathway for spiritual growth. We do, the Higher Call School of Ministry is intentional. It is part of, and it's not the only, our small groups. If you're here this morning and you are a small group leader, you got to understand you are a part of this vision. You are providing a pathway for spiritual growth. There's all kinds of small groups. If you're here this morning and you lead a Bible study, you are providing a pathway for spiritual growth. Can I just say thank you? We appreciate it. That's why I said we need you. Pastor Dave and I don't do it. Well, there's no way we could. In the bulletin, there are any number, the women's group, the men's group, providing a pathway of spiritual growth. Very deliberate. And that pathway of spiritual growth does some things. It disciples, it equips, and it mobilizes. This morning you saw with the ordination that we were mobilizing. And we're going to be doing more of it. And I don't mean ordinations necessarily. I just mean providing opportunities for the body to minister. For the bride to ride with the bridegroom. Well, what do we mean by disciple, equip, and mobilize? Well, I'm glad you asked. I see, and I wrote this, so I guess it has to be right for this morning's message anyway. Pastor Dave can clean up the mess. I see a little bit of difference between equipping and discipleship. Discipleship is the teaching and the imparting of the kingdom lifestyle as presented in the scriptures and as modeled by Jesus so that an individual might live in healthy relationship with God, with people, and the world around them. That's discipleship. It's learning how to do life. And if some of you have probably run into people and maybe worked with people and mentored people who, before you can equip them to do the work of the ministry, they need to be discipled in how to do life.
That's good.
How to get along. If it's a marriage situation, how to get along with your marriage partner or your neighbor or your kids or whatever. That's discipleship. Equipping is slightly different. To me, it's the teaching and the imparting concerning our spiritual callings and gifts. He's not leaving because he disagrees. He's got to. Yes, he's following Susie. No, they've got to be somewhere. I already knew that. And I know you knew that, but I told you that in case you didn't know that. The teaching and imparting concerning our spiritual callings and gifts so that we might serve those around us with an expression of the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Equipping equips people to give out of who they are. Discipleship establishes people in who they are and how to do life. And there is a difference. What do we mean by mobilize? The providing of leadership, encouragement, resources, and opportunity to use the gifts God has given us so that we might give to others what God has freely given to us. We want to see you fruitful. We want to see you giving away. And again, it's not about just in the church. Our vision is outside of these walls. And sometimes, and so that mobilization of believers to disciple, equip, and mobilize believers to be fruitful members of God's kingdom, offering opportunities to serve, yes, in our church, but also in our communities. We just did that a week ago. We provided you an opportunity to serve in the community with the Unity Vacation Bible School that we did with about six or seven other churches. We weren't the lead church on it. You know, there are churches who won't give themselves to something unless they can lead it. We would rather serve it. And that doesn't mean there's been lots of things in this community we have given leadership to. But even when we did, we tried to keep our name really small. Why? Because it's kingdom. It's not about church. Offering opportunities to serve in our church, our communities, and the nations. That's why we get pumped when we can send a team to another nation or to another neighborhood. It's mobilization. You are the bride. And I want to challenge you just a little bit to consider, where are you going? You and him. Most of us who have ridden horse know that more likely than not, it's the person in the front steering the horse. Imagine that. How can that be? Because he trusts her. And he trusts you as the bride. What is your kingdom assignment? What is your vision? What is your mission? How does your mission, and as I said, we're going to be having some classes that will revisit this in a little bit more of a way and help you understand, okay, this is my gift. This is who I am. How do I fit into this? We'll help you with that. I know this, you fit in way better than you think you do in many cases. And you are way more gifted and way more needed in the kingdom than you realize you are. You are way more needed in your sphere of influence than you realize you are. The bridegroom needs you. Here's the thing that's hard for us to understand, but he has designed it this way. He will not ride alone. Someone said, I think to Colleen, she told me, she said, someone said, well, I want my own horse. Oh, well, have fun. I don't want my own horse. I'd rather be on his. I'm just saying. We need to understand how much we need him. But we need to understand how much he needs us. And that is our vision. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that we can have fun in your presence. We thank you for the privilege that you give us. And you have purposed that you won't do it without us. And we cannot do it without you. And so we invite you, even in the weeks to come, as we continue to visit this, we ask you to be speaking to us, Lord, to help us see, as individual members of the body, how do we fit in? And how can we best use our gifts and our talents that you have given us to fulfill the mission and to fulfill the vision that you have given us? And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.